Very grateful to both our readers who got landed with readings which I believe are fairly traditional for this time of year, those two, but neither of them necessarily that easy. And starting with the second reading that Megan just read us about Anna, the old lady, the Jerusalem temple that day had its most important ever visitor, but most people wouldn't have recognized him because he looked like just any other little boy baby about 6 weeks old being brought by his mum for the traditional ceremonies, one for her and one for him, that were performed by devout Jews, known as the purification for the woman after she'd had the baby, and the dedication for the firstborn son. And sacrifices were offered, and a reasonably prosperous family would offer a lamb, and a less prosperous family would offer a pigeon or a couple of pigeons. And a very poor family didn't even have to offer the pigeons, they offered a bit of flour. So there are Joseph and Mary, presumably not that well off, but not absolutely broke, because they can afford the pigeons. And most people, as I say, wouldn't have recognized this most unusual baby who actually looked like any other baby. But two people did. One was called Simeon, and we didn't have time to read about him. You can catch up yourself if you look in the middle of Luke chapter 2. And the other is Anna the prophet. She's not the most well-known person in the story of Jesus. Her only mention in the Bible are those three verses about her that Megan read to us. But she's one of God's special people. She was either aged 84, which I think is the translation most of the modern ones go for, or the scholars say it could mean that she'd been a widow for 84 years, which if she got married at about 14 and her husband lives 7 years and then she's a widow for 84 years, my math says that's about 105. Which it was, I don't know. Somebody I was reading on this passage said that there was another famous Jewish lady who had lived to 105 called Judith. And so maybe Anna did too. We don't know. But even if she was a mere 84, I reckon 84 is pretty good going. I don't know how many more than 84-year-olds we've got here today. I haven't quite made it that far yet, but hoping to get there in due course. But anyway, there she is, and we doubt really if life would have been that easy for her as a widow for most of her life. When her husband died, she would probably have had several young children to bring up, and that might well not have been easy. If she was fortunate, she'd have had help from her wider family. If she was very fortunate, she might have been left some property of her own. But we don't know. But by the time we meet her, her prophetic gift has been well recognized. She's known as Anna the prophet, and she's based at the temple, doing lots of worshiping, lots of praying, lots of fasting. And we aren't told what she prayed about, but we got a hint at the end of our reading. Do you remember when she started talking to anybody who'd listen, having seen baby Jesus and his parents? She started talking to people who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. In other words, the godly people who knew that one day God was going to do great stuff here in Jerusalem, for us. He's going to restore us as his special people, so that we aren't just going to be living under the kingdom of whichever Caesar it was at the time, but we're going to be living in the kingdom of God and living his way unoccupied by yet another foreign power. So those were the people that she talked to. So my reasonable, I think, guess is that that was a lot of what she prayed about. She prayed and prayed and prayed for God to step in and send his promised king and restore things how he wanted them to be. And I then asked myself a question. If she'd been praying about this for decades, what stopped her giving up? What sustained her? What kept her going? I don't know how long some us here, you know, if we went round, I dare say we might discover that some of us have been praying for things for decades, and as yet, not happened. Well, what's going to sustain us to keep praying? What's going to sustain us to keep trusting and worshipping and praying, even though we aren't getting much response, it seems, yet from the Lord? Well, we got a hint of what might have sustained Anna from our first reading. It was a lovely little passage from Isaiah. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he's to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he's done, and so on and so on. Sounds really positive, doesn't it? Interesting thing is, if you open up your Bible sometime, or you might even want to now, it's on page 750 in this edition, I think. If you open it up, you discover that that is the little bright nugget in a chapter that continues pretty gloomy and continues into the next chapter pretty gloomy. Basically saying, come on, God, things are desperate here. We are having a lousy time. It's miserable. It's horrible. It's even worse than not getting the Christmas present you always wanted to get. It's grim. We're occupied. We're being oppressed. We're having a miserable time. It's basically a passage of lament. And the writer is sustaining himself to keep praying with what he said in that first bit that we read. He's sustaining himself by reminding himself of the good stuff that the Lord has done in the past for his people, and trusting that the Lord is eventually going to do it again, even though he hasn't yet. He's reminding himself that God specializes in rescuing. He's reminding himself that God is compassionate. He's reminding himself that God feels for those who suffer and suffers with them. And the reminding and the remembering fueled this writer to keep on praying, to keep on worshipping, to keep on trusting that it would happen. And that is sustained generations of Jewish people in their faith, and it seems a reasonable deduction that that would have sustained Anna to keep looking back and remembering, just as Christians we look back to Jesus and how he lived on earth and sustain ourselves to live his way, modeled on him and with his Spirit encouraging us and prompting us to persevere. In a moment we're going to sing a song, Blessed Be Your Name, which invites us to keep blessing the Lord's name, to keep praising him, whether all is as it should be or whether all is not as it should be and things are tough. And as we look back to the goodness of God in the past, particularly through sending Jesus to be our Saviour, we draw strength from his Spirit to press on. Press on into the new year, whether it's encouraging or tough, and to bless the Lord's name anyway.